Father, we just thank you for time together once again. Lord, that you're bringing us all back together for one purpose and one purpose only. And that is to discern truth that you have for us, that we may love you more intensely, that we may appreciate the gift that you've given us in Christ Jesus. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would have a people who are hungry, who want to know more and go deeper in the great truths of our faith. So, Lord, we just thank you. It is so simply beautiful to be in your presence. So, Lord, just bring forth your truth with fire and light and gentleness. And we just count it a privilege, Lord, to sit at your feet this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, welcome. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Just call me Fred.
Fred. You know, everybody calls me Tony all the time, and I say, you know what? I love that name.
So, welcome to session number 7.
Okay, thank you, John.
Good morning.
Thank you
for your prayers. It was amazing.
We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, 7 through 10. Before we read that, I'd just like once again to set the context for what we're going to be studying. So this is just a little thumbnail for session 6. Some of you weren't here for it, but the context is Paul's exposition of our spiritual identity and position in Christ. In kind of a summary statement, God has made us alive in union with Jesus Christ. We are spoken into life with Christ from the slavery, depravity, and death of the ordered world system in which we live, that is headed and driven by Satan. The source of our new life in Christ Jesus is the great love and rich mercy of God the Father, expressed in the sacrifice of his Son for the forgiveness of our sin. And we are now restored and spiritually positioned with Christ Jesus before the Father to be in perfect fellowship with him for eternity. So that's a lot going on in what we studied. And so I finished this last time. I don't know how many of you have Ephesians 6, but it is so important that we get this, that we have this position and identity with Christ now. We always think, well, when I'm fully glorified at the end of this life, then I'm going to be with Christ. No, it is now. And that we must get this. I tell you, I have never gotten this until, and I'm slowly beginning to see this after studying it. So this little bit of prose here at the end of the last... Come on in. Great to see you guys. Oh, come on. Get up. Get a seat.
No,
right here.
They didn't stop anymore.
Nah? Come on, we're skinny. No, it's plenty of room here.
Come on. No, no, no. It's here.
Like, if the Vitesses come in, you're going to get blown right out the window.
That's right.
Take that seat. All right, that's it. It's a little too windy.
That's
a peanut
gallery.
All right. So, you know, to understand the truth of our true position in Christ as a present reality and not a future prospect. That was the goal of the last session, and this little bit of reflection at the end of it, it sounds like a little bit of prose, but it's not. It's really trying to get to this place where we understand that time, as we know it, really does dissolve into eternity. Welcome. Come on in.
See, aren't you glad?
See? Just in time.
On the wave.
Yeah. Load those guys up. We're just going through what we studied last week. So. All right, so time dissolves into eternity. Space dissolves into the infinity of the universe. The physical is dissolved into the spiritual, and the truth of the matter of who we are right now is that, speaking, your eternal soul, the God-breathed essence of your being, united with Christ, sharing His life, living the life eternal that He purchased for you with His blood, dwells in His kingdom of light in perfect fellowship with Him forever. So, God is outside of time. God is outside of space. This is relative stuff that we have right here, time and space. And it's not an absolute because God is beyond both. Does that make sense? I mean, it's a crazy concept. But we have this little time in history, and we have a physical universe that we manipulate because God has for us to be creative with pottery or with, you know, gardens or whatever, because we're made in His image. But these dissolve in the universe and in eternity. What's the meaning of a little, you know, 80-year life or something? But you are incredibly meaningful in the eternal prospect. Your soul is eternal. It's God-breathed. You know, I mean, Satan can do all he wants, but guess what? Your soul is God-breathed. So what is happening is we are being restored to the original design of God's creation in our salvation. We were God-breathed, Adam and Eve, and guess what? That's where we're headed. We still are God-breathed now. We're just being sanctified and eventually be glorified, which is an amazing thing to think about. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So all of this is in Christ, with Christ, through Christ. I mean, this is where we are. So it really is a plea for us to move on from beholding Jesus to resting in Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus offers the invitation, come. But He says, come and what? Commune with me, rest with me. And so we're in this place right at the throne of God with Christ. This is where we really live. This is where we have the fullness of our being. So it was a lot to take on last week. And I don't know. You could study this for months. But think outside the box of your experience. Realize who you really, really are. That you have a soul that's eternal and that it's positioned with Christ. If you believe in what Jesus has done for you, this is the truth. And the whole world tries to distract you from it. And remember, this is this you know, world system headed and driven by Satan. It's all about lies and it's all about distractions, that we would not be the church. Okay? So that's...
We're in a battle. And so as much as we know we're resting in Him, there's still a battle going on.
Yeah.
And anything that comes against what you just said, who we are in Christ... is the world, the world system,
yeah.
Satan, the devil, right. The flesh.
Yep.
And we got to battle that. We can't
do.
Fall for that.
We can't.
And we've been falling for it for years.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, coming to an end.
Right.
No, we'll always, until we go to glory land, it'll be a battle. But we can know the truth.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, He completes you in the moment, and He transforms you in the lifetime. Never forget that. I don't care what your situation is, how depressed you are, how awful your life is. He will complete you in the moment that you call upon Him. You will have exactly what you need. But then as you have these little moments of completion, time after time after time after time, guess what happens?
Mm-hmm.
You're transformed. There's not a single person in this room that is the same as they were when they first met Christ. You can't tell a baby to ungrow. This is set. God has this for all of us. We are growing in Christ every single day. Even when you think you're the biggest loser in the world, you are learning lessons that can't be learned any other way.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. Okay, so the target, learning target for enduring understanding for this session today is to understand the process and purpose of your salvation. So these are just titanic concepts. Anyway, we'll do our best and God will do the rest. Let's go with, could someone just read 2 through 10 so we can really, it's not that long. Who feels like they want to speak?
2 to 10.
Chapter 2, 1 through 10 of Ephesians.
I'll read. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Thank you. All right. So, again, to understand process of our salvation, the purpose of our salvation, that's what we're looking at here today. All right, now, let's start with verse 7 then. And the question is, what from this verse do you see is the overarching purpose of all that God accomplishes in us and for us in Christ Jesus? What is God after?
A testimony?
Yes, a testimony to?
Not to the world, obviously.
Yes, exactly. Perfect. Yeah, that's really what it is. He wants to show the world all of this grace that he has. Okay? So it's really a revelation of his grace. And how is his grace expressed? There's a word here, and I think it's in all the versions that I'd never really looked into this word, but what do you see there? That he might show the immeasurable richness of his grace in
kindness.
Well, how do you figure so that in the coming ages is he talking to eternity, or is he talking about future? You know, the next generation.
I took it as the latter, and we're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're right there. Good question. You got a handout for Jack?
I think we're all done.
Did actually run out. I got to be honest, there were only, four people here last week, so I thought...
Oh, really?
So I don't know.
Kindness, it has kin in it.
Huh?
Notice
kin?
Kindness has kin in it.
Kin, yeah.
K-I-N.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
All right,
well... Sorry, I'm not... Oh, my God,
kin! All right, just what is kindness? All right, it has kin, what, I guess that'd be like friendship or family or... whatever.
Well, family, right?
Yeah.
You're my kin.
Yeah.
You're my kin.
Well, what?
Sorry.
I think of two things, Jeff. Number one, it's a fruit of the Spirit.
Okay.
It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, but it also indicates a similarity.
Good.
In a sense, similar to kin, but kindness means we're the same kind. We are the same.
Good.
We are of the same.
Yes. Yeah.
So his kindness to us in Christ Jesus is part of that transformation process.
Yes.
Of we are becoming more and more.
Good.
Like,
yeah.
Of the same essence. Of
good.
God in Christ.
Yeah. Aaron, if someone's kind, what are they? What kind of person is that? They're
friendly.
Friendly, yes.
They have love.
They love.
Compassion.
Mercy. It's quite a word. Mm-hmm. When you get to the bottom of kindness, I looked it up in Webster's, and this was his definition. I want you to write these words down because they're very interesting. Kindness is the quality of being sympathetic, which somebody touched on, gentle, and generous. So now look at those three words.
Wow.
Now, do you see the gospel in those three words?
Absolutely.
So take them one by one.
Generous, sympathetic.
Sympathetic,
gentle,
and generous.
It's Jesus.
Totally Jesus. Isn't it incredible?
Yeah.
What's the sympathy part? He what?
Forgiveness. He came down to be one of us?
Yes. Yeah, someone who's sympathetic, they know where you are. You have sympathy for somebody, they are in your place with you, taking the hit.
Yeah.
Now, guess what? That's exactly what Jesus did.
There's a verse in Titus that I'm never going to look at the same after that. It says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appear, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy.
We're going to that verse.
The kindness and love.
We are going there.
Beautiful. What is it? Titus 3:4.
Yeah, that's a great verse. That
wow.
is the parallel verse to this whole section.
I love that.
And I'd never seen it either.
No, I never looked at it that way.
Yeah. So
kindness is even in there before love.
Yes. All right, so sympathetic is, you know, he rescues us from our brokenness. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. He tempted as we are tempted, yet without sin. So Jesus. All right. Now, what about the gentle? Where do you see gentle in the gospel?
Came as a lamb.
Holy Spirit.
Ooh, I like that.
The Holy Spirit is gentle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not condemning.
Yes.
The opposite of cut.
There you go.
There's no one can die.
That's where I went with this. You know, he is gentle in forgiving our sin. We are not violently forgiven.
Oh, that's good.
We're not violently forgiven. Where was the violence in our forgiveness?
On him.
On the Death body of Christ.
Yeah.
But he takes that.
Yeah.
And we are gently forgiven. Isn't that amazing?
Mm.
What a loving God we have. So, you know, what kind of voice called for Elijah when he had run from Jezebel and he was up in the mountains and seeing the wind? Luke, you're smiling like that. What kind of voice was it?
Small.
Yeah.
Gentle.
Yeah. You know, it's not like God opens up one of those horns you have at a football game and, you know, it's gentle. Isn't that so wonderful? So it's a still small voice that calls us back into repentance. I mean, repentance has to be there. But it's a gentle voice that calls us, and it's a warm, loving embrace that receives us back into fellowship. Okay? So, the gospel is gentle. Okay, and then finally, generous. Who wants to take that one on? Yes, Aaron.
Maybe you could be talking about, like, we're his sheep, and he gives us all that we need. Like, he doesn't just save us, but then he goes on and gives us more.
Beautiful. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
We're not just saved in that moment. It's like, go ahead, Joe.
Well, while where sin appeared, grace did appear much more.
Yes, more and more. Yeah. Good. Okay, so that's it. generous. The God we serve lavishes his love upon us. And we wear the garments of salvation. There's a beautiful psalm that speaks of how we wear the garments of salvation. We wear his robe of righteousness. I mean, wow.
We're joint heirs for Christ.
Joint heirs. I mean, how generous can you be? He takes a little lump of dirt, breathes life into us, and we wind up sitting with him in eternity, co-reigning. I mean, he's generous. But Aaron, just that's so good. Every need we have, he'll give you what you need and far more than you do or think.
Yeah, it's one of his qualities is that he shares. Yeah. He wants to share.
Yeah.
He wants to share everything he has.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right, Joe. Who is the audience? For you already answered the question. So, who is the intended audience for God's revelation and purpose of His grace?
I think the church.
Well, the audience is.
Okay, me.
Well, you're part of the church.
Sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died.
Yeah.
Okay.
The ages to come. He's going to do it through the church. But it's for all of whatever follows from here in history. What do you think? Is that, do you believe that? Is that right?
It's still
chapter 1.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So that's the...
To the world, it's a mystery still.
It is a mystery. Mm. But, you know, we looked into this a little bit. Actually, it was in the introduction where we... so much of this book of Ephesians is about the purpose of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just kind of a summary statement that we had back in the first session. It says the purpose of the church is to manifest to the world the manifold wisdom of God. Mm-hmm. The church's foundation upon Christ, her life in Christ, her revelation of Christ is accomplished by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of bringing praise to the glorious grace of God. So,
amen.
The church is a very special, beautiful thing. It's the bride of Christ. And remember, manifest is to make known, to show in manifold. And I don't know, someone who was talking about exhaust manifolds, how they all different, I think it was Vinny. The exhaust manifold, all those different pipes. Well,
right.
The manifold wisdom of God has a lot of different reflections. And I mean, look at all that he has put into being in the universe. So how wise is he? So the church is to reveal the essence of God to all these ages that are to follow. People that are going to be called, they're going to be called because they see. They see the reality of Christ and God in the church. There ain't no plan B. So, you know, we gather here and it's like, whoa. We have quite a mantle that the Holy Spirit places upon us when we walk out of here.
Yeah.
But it's a joyous thing, isn't it? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. This is not... Forget legalism. I am so sorry. You're going nowhere with legalism. Mm. You don't earn anything. You can't measure up ever in your own. Just forget legalism. And we're going to touch on that a little bit, but that's truly grace is moving that aside, so we don't have to worry about legalism. Okay. So, now let's go to verse 8. Nice little verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. So, before we even get to our actual salvation experience, what has to come before faith comes? What makes faith happen? How does it come into existence?
Faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
And hearing by the word of God.
Yeah. All right, so Now, flip into a different sense. And how does faith come? It comes by what?
Holy Spirit.
It comes by the Holy Spirit.
You're filled by the Holy Spirit.
The Word.
Yeah.
Breathing on the Word of God.
Yeah?
You're drawn by God.
It has to come by humility and seeking.
Yeah.
If there's, because I really had a time in California, and it was just a real praise. Thank you for everybody's prayer, because my brother, before, he wouldn't even invite me to his house, you know, because, you know, he's like, know that I love the Lord. But this time, thank you for your prayers. I was going to stay with my girlfriend 2 days, another girlfriend 2 days, and not Christian, and a Christian, and maybe my other brother said, 1 day? Well, he wouldn't let me go. I stayed 3 days out of the week.
Whoa.
And I got to, you know, I brought in, God is not dead, because my girlfriend let me borrow that. So I've been showing it here, and I hope I show it at the church before I return it by Thanksgiving. And my brother saw half of it. Half. And he turned it off. I said, you've missed the best part. So I shared with him the rest of it.
Give it to him for Christmas.
There you go.
I said, that's enough. You know, that was really real praise of my other brother. You know, I saw the whole family, my 5 siblings. They're all alive. My brother's 92 and his wife.
Wow.
You know, so I just praise the Lord. I was able to share the gospel from the airplanes to, you know, it's just I gave away all my traps.
So what do you pray for?
So thank you for your prayer. What a difference.
Yeah. So what do you, how is your brother going to come to Christ?
It's by the love of the Lord. And he's humbling himself a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm shooting for my favorite word. Huh?
Illumination.
Yes.
Why did you just say that? If he said favorite, I got that.
Well, you were right on with faith comes by hearing. And you were right on the Holy Spirit moves through the heard word.
And he's got a new girlfriend. I think she loves the Lord.
So God is...
She's so joyful.
He's doing things in his life.
When you hear it, you have to acknowledge the truth, and you can only do that by illumination, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After hearing comes the sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not just illuminated by what you read and what's happening inside. All of a sudden, you're looking at what's around you and realizing that there was a creator for that. And there's beauty around you.
Yes.
So it's a fallen world.
Exactly.
And that just reinforces that out of faith.
Beautiful.
God has
done. Okay, you notice what Satan's done with that too? People, where are they looking now when you take a walk? Are they looking around at the beauty?
They're not. Yeah, their heads.
Even at a dinner table, they're not looking at the other person. They're going like,
they don't do that. They do this. I do.
Yeah.
This.
How many times do you go to a restaurant and you just see people just doing this?
They're
not even talking.
They're looking up and around at the beauty. Look at what we have.
They're not even talking to each other.
Ridiculous.
Josh, isn't that crazy? People don't even talk anymore. They just have their face and their phone stuck to their nose. Yeah.
The shackles get taken off.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe.
A verse that always comes to my mind is when we go back into the book of Acts and Lydia, where it says, the Lord opened her heart.
Yeah. The eyes of the heart.
Didn't that great? Mm. Yeah.
Lydia. Where is that Acts 1?
That's... 16, Acts 16, it starts at 11, goes all the way down to 11 to 15, but I think it's verse, looks like 14. Opened her heart.
Well, this is what we're...
But again, just to
go ahead,
back
to
what he said, is that the Lord opened her heart, but how did that happen?
By the Lord.
Because he opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul.
Yeah.
So faith came by hearing.
Exactly.
And Lord opened their heart as he heard the word.
Yeah.
Hearing, seeing, believing.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of like my testimony. I think it's all of ours. At one point, we heard the message and it just...
There you go.
It just made sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So just to put a cap on this, and again, hearing is illumination. I mean, it's a different sense, but it's
exactly.
The same. So the platform for faith really is illumination plus revelation. Okay, it's God's sovereign choice to do this. He chooses you He chooses you to have this happen to you. Zachary, it happened to you. He chose you. All right? So God chooses you to see him and know him in Christ. So the light shines, and then there is discernment through the Holy Spirit. I like to put illumination and revelation as kind of a sequential thing. You get the light shines, and now you see, but you also, more than just see, you understand it. I can be a blind person and my sight is restored and I read the pages of a book and I don't have a clue. Right. But revelation is pulling back the veil. Mm. Guess what? I can not only see the words, I understand them. Mm-hmm. And that is the fullness that we have in Christ. It's magnificence.
That's when you know you have the Holy Spirit.
That's it.
Because know before, nothing made sense to you.
Yeah.
And you're like, why all of a sudden do I get
this? Isn't that?
It's amazing. I was at Trader Joe's, you know, and I tell you, God is so awesome. And I'm drinking this coffee, you know, little sample, and I said, oh, this is such a treat, and the gal came to fill it up. And she said, I am so glad you said that. Because people come in and they get the coffee, put in the thermos, walk out. Other people complain that the cups are too small.
Uh-oh.
You know, and I started talking to her. And she's a single mom. And I gave her our daily bread. And she said, you know, I can't understand the Bible when I read it.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds
amazing.
Like the eunuch in
and
the
I
chariot
said,
with Philip.
Ask the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was so amazing. Wherever I went, the Lord opened doors.
She's amazing. She's like a little sponge that leaves a little mark.
You know, I had 14 daily breads. The Lord, whatever you want me to give, and I'll give it now.
Okay.
But the Lord opened the door. The last one I had on the plane, he was doing this. He was on the computer the whole time, Jim. And so I said, you know, I have one more. If you would like to take this and read, look at it, see if you want it. And I said, you know, it's so you draw closer to the Lord. You know, good things are getting so bad. And he said, you know, Rosie, I don't even have time to pray. And I said, well, you know, the bathroom's a great place. You know? And I said, Jim, we have to take time to pray. And we have to make time to pray.
Yeah.
So he said, well, because it's from you, I'll take it.
Praise God.
You know what? He may turn to that.
He may turn to it.
He stopped and showed me his dog pictures and stuff.
All right.
Amazing.
All right. Illumination.
Kindness. Show kindness.
Kindness, yes. All right.
And it opens doors.
So, okay. So God chooses us to see him and know him. He gives us light so that we have discernment through the Holy Spirit. And finally, you know, that definition that we have, the incandescent perspicacity to see real truth. We can see through the darkness and fallenness of this world that we live in. We see through it. The Holy Spirit gives us discernment. So when you have that kind of faith, what then follows? Going back to the verse, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So what happens?
Salvation.
Your salvation comes.
Grace.
Yeah. You know, you are now, when faith is in place, you're now able to receive the gracious gift of your salvation because you can see and discern God the Father in Christ Jesus, the Son, and the glory of his nature. And you believe. I mean, the first time you met Christ, I mean, what was that like? It was... You know, it was crazy. I mean, I was in my dorm room as a sophomore in college, and I received Christ in that place. I'll never forget the moment. It was nuts. I was coming out of all kinds of terrible things. But, yeah, think back on that. That's when salvation comes. And it's a moment that we all hopefully have had. And so
I was thinking also of sanctification.
Yeah.
Becoming more and more like Christ.
Yes.
That's what happens as our faith grows.
Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah.
You can literally say, I've seen the light.
Really? Well, that's true, isn't it?
The light's turned on.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah,
is that what they?
So, so really, going to what Nancy just said, there's a summary statement there. When your repentance is real, mm-hmm. and your faith in Christ Jesus is in place, God pours the grace of His salvation purchased for you into your soul.
I didn't read ahead.
No, you weren't supposed to. You're just prevenient, or you're seeing ahead, whatever. All right. God pours the grace of His salvation purposed for you into your soul as you are now justified in Christ. Your journey of sanctification unto glorification has begun. In Christ Jesus, you literally have a new spiritual heredity.
I don't like that. New spiritual.
What is heredity? Catherine, what's heredity?
Well, it's something that belongs to you because of people before you.
Right.
Wow.
Very good.
New DNA.
So what is our spiritual heredity before Christ comes?
Zippo.
Yeah, it's what Adam and Eve brought into being when they made the choices that they made. So that is the spiritual heredity that we have, and realize when this grace, you've been saved through faith, your spiritual heredity changes. Everything's new. Yeah. I love this line. You still do what you want to, but your
wants are different.
Want-tos have changed.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Yeah, you're not a slave to sin anymore.
Oh, God.
You know, that's changed.
Yeah. You are a slave, how? To what?
To Christ.
Yeah. You.
Which is wonderful.
Which is wonderful.
It's the best place to be.
That's where the freedom is.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that is, you know, there's so much we could go on with there. But I do want to hit 8b here. What do you see in verse 8b?
It's a gift from God, not from ourselves.
Yes.
Generosity.
Yes. Going back to kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, this is a big piece of it, folks. You know, we really, somehow the flesh in us wants to take credit.
Yeah.
You know, we really want to have something to say here about earning our way. And it's just not.
Well, other religions teach that. Right?
Well, yes, okay.
So as a kid.
Speak to that, yeah, really.
Taught, you know, you'll be good enough and you'll get to heaven.
Yeah.
If you don't die with one of those bad sins on you. You die with just those sort of bad sins and people will pray you up to heaven.
Yeah.
It's used to control people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But even in
the Holy
culture.
Spirit doesn't control. He lets you just. He's gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Santa Claus.
That's what I was going to say. Santa Claus, or you'll be good enough if you eat that, you'll have dessert. And it's always about reward if you do something.
Not crow, you better not pout. Santa Claus is coming.
Yeah. All right, well, to go along with that, tell me about this now. Verse 9. It's the gift of God, this the grace. But tell me, not because of works, lest any man should boast. And the question that I have for you is, what is the great tragedy of a works-oriented approach to gain relationship and favor with God?
Well, failure.
First of all, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. that's the great tragedy. You're doing everything on your own, and you're not surrendering to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the greatest thing is the greatest tragedy is not knowing where you're going. If you ask somebody who's not a Christian, are you going to heaven? I think so. I'm a good person.
Yeah, right.
I think I am.
Yeah.
But you're living with that, I think I did enough good things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It negates the cross.
Yes, that was the next step.
Illumination negates.
Yes, that is what it cancels out the blood of Christ as a remission for sin. You're saying, I don't need that. I can do this. I'm good enough. I do all of my silly stuff, and I'm an awesome person, and God has to have me in His kingdom. No, 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 no. It takes the blood of Christ to. So, you know, there's a. This is a quote from this R.P. Martin that I'm studying in this. He says, this approach puts the focus of trust back on self, boasting of and trusting in dead works. It is the antithesis of what is really needed, which is a self-distrust that casts itself wholly upon God and His mercy, that trusts in the work of Christ alone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sounds great.
You know, we need to cast ourselves upon the mercy of God and not drum up a bunch of bogus things that we did, you know, to make us acceptable. So, okay? So just don't ever fall into the works thing, please. all right, the next question is, what, again, is the source of grace, and in whom is grace embodied? Now, there is a distinction there. What's the source of grace?
God
is the source, and what aspect of His?
It's embodied in Jesus.
It's embodied in Jesus, but...
Oh, with the Holy Spirit that He's given us as a gift. Another gift that He gave us.
Right. But what part of God's character are we living in here? It's His what? Remember, God is a God of
love.
Yeah. Well, He's a God of all those things. But, you know, again, there would have, if God was not a God of love, there would have been no God the Son.
Right.
Okay? Whenever there, I mean, we know that it is deepest essence, God is a God of love.
Mm-hmm.
Because love demands that there be somebody that you give it to. You can't love and just be this thing that looks at itself the whole time. So it's a beautiful truth about God. There had to be a Trinity. If God is love, then there has to be a Trinity. So that love is really the source of His grace. And then it's embodied in Christ. You know, and the couple of verses there which you're familiar with. Kind of run out of time as usual. But, now, let's... John 1:14. Let's see who wants to read. Okay, thank you.
The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us.
Yeah.
We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yeah. Okay. Full of, He embodies it. He's full of it. It's just not a little dribble. All right. And then John 1:16. Just go ahead, it's right there. Yeah.
From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another.
One blessing after another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, grace upon grace. Yeah. So, Christ is the embodiment of God's grace. And... now the Titus 3:3-7. Diana, it's all yours. Now this is such a great verse because it actually goes back to the beginning of chapter 2. It takes in where Christ took us from. So,
3:3-7.
Yeah.
At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life.
Mm.
This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone.
You know, Nothing like the Word of God to interpret the Word of God.
I know. Absolutely.
You know, it's so gorgeous. All right, in the little time that we have left, there's a big, big deal. Verse 10. What, again, this is this verse which I hope you just write it on your heart. For we are His, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So works are important, aren't they? They don't earn our salvation, but what are works? What is the proper position for works in God's revelation of Himself through us in Christ to the world? There's a lot going on there. But this is... God wants to reach this world with a revelation of His essence, of who He is. Mm-hmm. He's chosen the church to do it.
It's His testimony, right? Because we can only do good because He's in us.
Yeah.
So those works,
but what God's goodness. What the works are, what?
God's goodness.
It's the fruit.
It's a way of saying thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's also a way to show His glory and that we can help with pruning or whatever.
Yes.
Because of the fact that by doing these good works, I've got a little note here.
Go ahead.
And when it says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, but next to that which, I have why. Not a question. This is why we were created to good. Do these good works.
Yes. Yes.
And this is to give glory to God.
Yeah.
And to show His yeah. omnipotence, to show that we are His slaves and that we are here to serve Him.
Yeah.
Give all the glory to God.
That's it. That's where this whole thing's going. We're going to take it in pieces, but you just totally capped the whole thing.
But we have to do good works according to Him and through His Holy Spirit.
Right.
Of our own doing.
Well, we're going to look at that.
You get to join us.
Yeah. Okay. So what is workmanship? And why is the understanding that we are God's workmanship important? And Jack has already... But what is workmanship? That's a cool word. Does anybody know what workmanship is? How would you define it?
I think it's taking raw materials and shaping them.
Yes.
Into what the ultimate purpose.
Yes, exactly. It's like craftsmanship. Mm-hmm. It's artistry. All right.
Yeah. Workmanship. It's design.
It's yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's also unique.
And it's totally.
Somebody's workmanship.
It belongs to them.
Process.
Yeah. There's no one else that can do quite what you do, the way you do it. A lot of people can, you know, build a car, but there's a certain special thing that you do that makes it unique to you. Isn't that beautiful? Because that's, man, if you doubt that you're after the design of the Creator, forget about it. Look at your garden. No one gardens like you do.
If I build a car, nobody's going to be able to go anywhere in it.
Well, we're looking at the positive.
No, I'm just saying. If I do it in my own way.
Yeah, right.
Different
gift. Right. Well, this is
not
it.
Not going to work.
And this is where we're going. Okay.
Yeah.
The Greek's word is poema.
Oh, go.
Which is where you get the word poem.
Oh, my gosh.
So the word signifies that which is manufactured product, the design produced by an artisan. It says, poema emphasizes God as the master designer.
Oh.
We are His poetry.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
whoa.
Good.
Wow.
Poema?
Poema.
How do you spell that?
P-O-I-E-M-A.
Mm. So that's... Oh.
We are His poetry?
Isn't that a nice way to wake up in the morning?
Wow.
You know? What do you think, Adam? You wake up in the morning? Wow. From God's poem. You might live your life a little different if you had that. So what, in this regard then, what connection do you see between the essence of our salvation and the purpose of our salvation? I tried hard to word that in a way that made sense, and I had a hard time. Can anybody even understand the question? There's a connection there. Between the essence of it, the core, why we are, and the purpose.
Joint heirs with Him?
They're joint, yeah. Okay. I mean, this is a I don't know. We are not created apart from our function. Does that make sense? We are not created apart from our function. We are redeemed. We are made alive to do, to function, to contribute, to make a difference, to impact, to be useful in God's advancing His kingdom.
So we're a display of God's grace.
We are. Mm-hmm. You never have to have an identity crisis as a Christian. Because you are God's workmanship. He's crafted you. He's given you gifts that no one else had. Nobody has the exact same combination of gifts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I ask this question, what is the essence of human dignity? Dignity is worth. It's honor. And you will never find more dignity than you will find when you are in the hands of God. And this is what our culture is suffering from right now. People are alive and they don't know why. And they're suffering and it's meaningless suffering to them. And they're in pain and there is no answer for them. Mm-hmm. Where the truth is this, and again, just another summary statement. To be a human being in the fullness of God's design is to have a calling, function, and purpose wherein the artistry of God is revealed through your unity and communion with Christ Jesus. That unity empowers you to do those things that by God's grace you are uniquely gifted to do to the praise of God's glory. You know, what do you think of that? Is that right?
It just makes you really smile. It makes you really happy.
Holy mackerel, I guess it does. Our lives are so incredibly important.
Yeah. And you how know, important is it to find our place?
It is. And your gifts are there given you. And, you know, the amazing truth about the works in which we walk is what? They were
prepared in advance.
I mean, here we go with time again. Forget time. The works that you do, what you do later on today, what you do tomorrow, the good works have been designed for you out of the millions and billions and trillions of people that have lived. These are the works that God designed for you because He knows what He is doing. He gave you those gifts and He fashioned the works for you. Go ahead, please.
It just hit me that in doing the works God has prepared for us to do, that's all part of His continuing workmanship. We're changed by the things we do in His will.
Yeah.
That's all part of the process.
Yeah.
We're on the lathe, but we're also...
It
just hit me that.
Yeah.
It's the ongoing process throughout our life.
Yeah. Wow. The workmanship is not a one moment only, is it?
No, it's not just one way. It's all related.
Yeah.
As we complete what He's... Yeah. He's made us to do X by today, and by tomorrow it's going to be Y.
Yeah.
Because we're now different because of what we did. We did X. Does that make any sense?
He ordained us to do that. In Psalm 139, it says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none."
Great. Yeah. Wow.
It's amazing.
What verse is with us? Sorry.
139. Psalm 139.
Verse
16. Well, actually,
I know the whole thing.
So, you know, these two sessions, I mean, it seems like everything is so incredibly important, but boy, to understand our identity and position in Christ Jesus, and then to understand the process and purpose of our salvation. Study those. I don't know how you find time to do anything, but these are things worth considering. Don't let anybody lie to you, okay? Our lives are so crucial. God has no other means to reveal Himself. Catherine, will you close? Thank you.
Lord, thank you for this time that we've had together just to see the things that are so important in your word and so connected and sturdy and things that we can just believe in and stand on. I thank you that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and just be joyful in learning more about you. Thank you for this time. Please prepare us to be ready to hear your word from Pastor Michael. And thank you for this lovely day.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Car, not a car.
No.